We wish each other a happy or a blessed Thanksgiving on this day. Wonderful tradition began way in the beginning of our nation's history, as our leaders set aside this day as a day of special thanksgiving. But more than a tradition, it is also a command. As I was reading this morning, and I'll read it to you as opening verse from Psalm 148, it says, "Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent, and his glory is above the earth and heaven." With these words, let us stand together and let us praise God and confess his name and receive his blessing. Our help and expectation, Lord, is in thee. In thee who has made heaven and earth. In thee who keepeth truth forever. And who hath never forsaken the works, any of the works of thy gracious hands. Amen. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We'll sing together 288, glorification of our Creator for his works of providence in Psalm that is composed here, as well as his work of grace. O Lord, how manifold the works in wisdom wrought by thee. 288, all verses.
Thank you.
book of Psalms admirably fit it also for a day like this. Many psalms given and written for Thanksgiving services. Let's read and together speak, as it were, in our heart, Psalm 147 as our Thanksgiving expression here by the Spirit of God inspired. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praises calmly. The Lord has built up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains, giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of thy gates. He has blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. So far the reading of God's scriptures. I read now to you the Thanksgiving proclamation of our President. On Thanksgiving Day, we remember with reverence and gratitude the bountiful blessings afforded to us by our Creator. And we recommit to sharing in a spirit of thanksgiving and generosity with our friends, neighbors, and families. Nearly four centuries ago, determined individuals with an hopeful vision of a more prosperous life and abundance of opportunities made a pilgrimage to a distant land. These pilgrim fathers embarked on their journey across the Atlantic at great personal risk, facing unforeseen trials and tribulations and unforetold hardships during their passage. After their arrival in the New World, a harsh and deadly winter took the lives of nearly half their population. Those who survived remained unwavering in their faith and foresight of a future rich with liberty and freedom, enduring every impediment as they established one of our nation's first settlements. Through God's divine providence, a meaningful relationship was forged with the Wampanoag tribe, and through their unwavering resolve and resilience, the pilgrims enjoyed a bountiful harvest the following year. The celebration of this harvest lasted 3 days, and saw the pilgrims and Indians seated together at the table of friendship and unity. That first Thanksgiving provided an enduring symbol of gratitude that is uniquely sown into the fabric of our American spirit. More than 150 years later, it was in the same spirit of unity that President George Washington declared a National Day of Thanksgiving, followed the Revolutionary War and the ratification of our Constitution. Less than a century later, that hard-won unity came under duress as the United States was engaged in a civil war that threatened the very existence of our republic. Following the Battle of Gettysburg in 1863, in an effort to unite the country and acknowledge, quote, the gracious gifts of the Most High God, unquote, President Abraham Lincoln asked the American people to come together and, quote, set apart and observe the last Thursday of November, next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens, unquote. Today, this tradition continues with millions of Americans gathering each year to give their thanks for the same blessings of liberty for which so many brave patriots have laid down their lives to defend during the Revolutionary War and the years since. Since the first settlers to call our country home landed on American shores, we have always been defined by our resilience and propensity to show gratitude even in the face of great adversity, always remembering the blessings we have been given in spite of the hardships we endure. This Thanksgiving, we pause to acknowledge those who will have empty seats at their table. We ask God to watch over our service members, especially those with selfless commitment to serving our country and defending our sacred liberty, has called them to duty overseas during the holiday season. We also pray for our law enforcement officials and first responders as they carry out their duties to protect and serve our communities. As a nation, we owe a debt of gratitude to both those who take an oath to safeguard us and our way of life, as well as their families, and we salute them for their immeasurable sacrifices. As we gather today with those we hold dear, let us give thanks to Almighty God for the many blessings we enjoy. United together as one people in gratitude for the freedoms and prosperity that thrive across our land, we acknowledge God as the source of all good gifts. We ask Him for protection, wisdom, and for opportunities this Thanksgiving to share with others some measure of what have so providentially we received. Now therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim Thursday, November 28, 2019, as a national day of thanksgiving. I encourage all Americans to gather in homes and places of worship to offer a prayer of thanks to God for our many blessings. Well, let's give heed to that call of our president as well as to the call of God, above all, to give the Lord thanks together. Let us pray. Great God in heaven and over all the earth, we owe Thee every ounce of our being. We owe Thee daily loads of thanksgiving. We owe Thee a life of thanks living, of devotion to Thee who art devoting Thyself to us. What we have just rehearsed with the poet of Psalm 147 is so fitting and is also capable of expansion. For Lord, beyond what He listed, there is so much more to list. Thou hast treated us as if we are royalty, as if we deserve it. Thou hast treated us, Lord, as if we are the best of the people upon this earth. Thou hast not tired in giving us far more than needed, but also contrary to our merits, Lord. We deserve today to chew on a blade of grass. We also deserve to huddle together in the cold. We deserve, Lord, what a majority of the world's population daily battle with in their battle for survival, even for most basic needs, we take for granted. Instead, we have so much that we can't eat it all. We have homes like palaces. Ours filled our borders with peace, our cupboards with prosperity. We know nothing of war. We don't need to flee our country, try to cross over in a country where prosperity is the norm. Thou hast not left us wandering either, Lord, without the gospel truth. The psalmist said it. Thou hast not dealt with any nation. That was Israel of old. But so we can expand it to ourselves today. Thou hast shown thy word to us. O Lord Jesus, thou hast come to us with thy gracious revelation of mercy and grace and pardon. Thou hast not grown weary to call us and to again and again and again set before us the way of life. Lord, never would we be so patient and so persistent with our neighbors, even our good neighbors, as thou hast been, not just with thy neighbors, but with thy creatures, and not even good creatures, for none of us is good. Thou art an awesome God, and may it please thee, O God, in this hour, to so fill our hearts with a sense of that, and to penetrate to all the chills of our heart and all the formalities, and to make us leap or also make us bow. They go together on a Thanksgiving day. And gracious God, thou hast guided us, not only in our daily life, but all nature around us. Though our food production on the fields and in the barns hasn't been smooth this season, it has been a struggle with the wetness and the coldness. We still have harvested. We still have milked cows. We still, Lord, have much more to eat than not what we can eat. The only complaint we're allowed to make today is about ourselves. And thou knowest that most of our complaining is not about that. And so we humble ourselves before thee, O great and mighty God, and pray that thou wilt draw our hearts and souls and body into the thanksgiving frame. Bless the meditation on the word to move our hearts and to touch our silent tongues. Keep us, Lord, from making this only a feast day for our stomach, but rather also enable us to joy before thee with our soul. May it be a feast day before thee, as we share our meals and fellowship time with family and friends. Lord, the poet that we read of this morning extolled thy ability and grace to gather the outcasts, to heal the broken in heart, to bind up those that have been wounded. And we also pray that especially in this day thou wilt apply that power into those lives among us who are wounded and who feel broken. We may thank thee that thou enabled Jane to be with us this morning, Lord, but for her in our church family and for countless many others within this nation. A day like this can feel pretty raw. And many others, Lord, have wounds and empty places or struggle again with the disappointments of longings not fulfilled and requests denied, prayers unanswered. And we pray for them, Lord, for it may be hard for them today to delight themselves in Thee, and yet Thou can also give that. And we pray for that. Pray for the millions of children and adults who suffer in loneliness, who struggle with the woundedness of the heart, Lord, as through neglect or abuse, who cry in pain. And so we beg Thee, O great and almighty, that Thou wilt drop a token for good in such raw souls and to help them to see that there is yet reason for thanksgiving. So prevent us from not omitting today, as we rejoice with each other, to also grieve with the grieving. And one more thing, O gracious Lord. We extol Thee for holding this universe together. The earth. Thou coverest, we read, the earth with clouds. Thou upholdest the sun in shining. Thou keepest the earth in its orbit. Thou clothest all things through the seasons of spring and summer and fall with Thy beauty. Thou maintains order in our society and general law abiding citizenships, Lord, within this nation. We thank Thee, O eternal God and Spirit, for Thy grace in the realm of nature, but also in the realm of economy and society. How indebted we are to Thee. And enable us to join that hymn writer of old, "How great Thou art," when we in awesome wonder consider the parts of the world, yea, the world around us, Thy hands has made. Then teach us to sing, O Lord, "How great Thou art." But teach us even more to thank Thee for Thy grace spiritually, for bringing sinners to Jesus Christ, for exalting Jesus while humbling hearts and sinners, opening hearts for the gospel, and bringing convicted souls to the blood that cleanses from all sin. O Lord, enable us today to enter with the Apostle Paul. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. And may that be the tone of our heart. Teach us not only to pray, but teach Thou us to thank. We ask Thee to remember those who could not share this hour with us. Lord, there's a lot of sickness, of flus, perhaps listening at home or maybe too sick for that. But please wilt Thou remember them in all their weaknesses. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are having our singing out of 394, verse 1 through 4, and our collection today is for this woman. Now you can see the picture, you can see it later if you want to come close to me after church. Her house was badly damaged by a shell in the conflict between Russia and the Ukraine. And the Karunchi family found their way to eastern Ukraine. And Sergei, and this is his wife, and her mother, Rasia, found a home, but not quite a home that we're used to, badly in need of repairs. To make matters worse, more difficult, Rasia, her mother, needs constant care from a stroke that she had a couple years ago. So she requires bathing and toileting and help with dressing and feeding. Now, caring for an elderly is hard enough in any circumstance, but certainly in a house without running water and a very tight budget. Nearby church stepped in to help Sergei and his wife and his ailing mother by hooking up water to the house. Church also accessed the winter help funding for COA, the one we're collecting for today, to help in partnering this family and supply them with hot water heater and a wash machine. And what a joy to have hot water for this family this winter. And you see her standing here with the wash machine, and this is the mother laying on the bed, crippled by her stroke. The aim of winter help that we're collecting for today is to provide material relief and support for people. It's an opportunity to reach the families who are in crisis, not only materially, but also with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're thankful for you coming alongside these families in need and giving them both materially help and the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the impact on this family has been great. The support and the witness of the church has also led Sergei and his family to come to church and to learn about the great gospel. So let us reach deep in our pockets today. And if you haven't such a deep pocket with you today, you can do it on Sunday again and add to it. Now, this aspect of COA, the goal is that they would collect $85,000 this year. And that is gone in no time. I'm on the board of this COA, and that money is gone in no time. The needs are endless. Let's sing 394, 1, 2, and 3. love. Thanksgiving. That should drip from us as the dew drips from the leaves on a beautiful morning. But sadly, as we all know, what usually ends up in the morning dripping out of our mouth is not thanksgiving. We complain, grumble, sigh, and look at the bad things rather than counting up and dance about the good things. It's my golden privilege every year to remind you of that and myself, and I felt peculiarly convicted this week as I prepared this message. Thanksgiving is lacking in my life. It's lacking in much of my prayer life. I have long lists of things I lay before God and ask the Lord and all the needs. And my thanksgiving part, at least in my life, is rather lean. It ought to be the other way around. So I preach out of conviction of my own heart tonight, this morning to you. And I'd like to take you briefly this morning to Luke chapter 17. Let's read together verses 11 to 19 as the scriptures I want to expound with you briefly, and then come before God once more in the close of our message and service in thanksgiving. So Luke 17, verse 11 through 19. Came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." Let's just briefly meditate on this portion of scripture this morning. It's about the leper's thanksgiving. First of all, it's a very inspiring story that he has here recorded, Luke. And secondly, it has a convicting example. So with the Lord's help, let's just ponder this through briefly as we prepare our hearts once more in the closing of this service to, with one heart and mind, come before the great God and Jesus Christ our Lord, to thank him, for that is what we ought to be doing. It's an exciting and amazing story, children, that we read here in the scripture of Luke about Jesus and 10 lepers. As Jesus is walking between the border of Samaria and Galilee, he's kind of discreet. And there he all of a sudden is met by a loud cry. 10 people cry at the same time. And loudly, I am sure, because it says they lifted up their voices and they were at quite a distance of Jesus and his little group of disciples. They had to. They weren't allowed to be close. They had rattles in their hands. Because if the people got too close, they would rattle with this rattle to make sure that they knew, "You don't get closer to me because I'm a leper." So they were quite a distance. And here they are meeting Jesus with this loud crowd, "Jesus of Nazareth," or no, not Jesus of Nazareth. It says, "This is Jesus, Master Jesus, have mercy upon him."
Not too many people probably paid attention to this group. They're used to him. But Jesus paid attention. He heard that cry. What a sight, these 10 lepers helping each other. Probably someone was leaning on another. Because leprosy affects your feet. And sometimes affects your hands. And affects your head. And maybe someone were half blind or half lame, and you could just see this little huddle of 10 people as they are there standing together. What a sad sight. And even their misery has made him overcome racial tension. Because 9 Jews have adopted in their group 1 Samaritan. That's quite something. Yeah, we don't think enough of that. But this is common shared misery makes us forget about church walls. Denominations are so split today. That's a luxury problem. Do you know that? That's a luxury problem. When God would whip us with a little persecution, we're going to find brothers and sisters across the church wall and unite with them again. That's what happens here. That happens everywhere. Yeah? Church splits and church denominations, let's keep it in mind, is a luxury problem. We allow ourselves sometimes to be separated from people for trivial reasons. I'm not saying that all church separations are not necessary. That, of course, you will understand. But anyway, back to this story. Well, many who turned their faces from these men, Jesus did not. He must also have called loudly to them so they could hear him. Go show yourselves to the priest. That's all he said. And what they do? They go. They don't say, wait a moment, we can go like this. Look at this, our hands are full of leprosy. Look at this! Our chest is full of leprosy! We can't go like this! No, not like that. They went. Full of leprosy. Why'd they have to go to the priest, kids? Because the priest was the only one that could declare them clean. The priest would have to take their clothes off and look over their body if there's any leprosy left. And if they were declared clean, then they were allowed to go home. Not before that. Notice that as they go, something happened. None of them asked Jesus, why should we go this way? No, they all went, they all obeyed, because they all believed. You notice here that this obeying and believing is cinema, it's together, same thing. They believed Jesus. And they obey Jesus. And God blessed them. As they're walking on the way to Jerusalem, or wherever the priest was, all of a sudden says, hey guys, look at my hands! Look at this! Nobody's looking at his hand. They're all looking at their own hands. They're looking at their own chest. They're looking at their own legs. Hey, watch this. I'm getting better. My leprosy is going. I think they were dancing on the street together. They threw their canes away. They threw their rattles away. And they were dancing together. They feel like new people. Their leprosy is gone. Their flesh came back like a child's. Unbelievable. What took place down that road? Leprosy congregation is a deadly disease. Nobody ever gets better from that. You get leprosy, you are a living corpse waiting to die. And these men got better, all of them. God honors the obedience of faith in him. You know that we're all lepers? I'm not going to dwell on that this morning in this Thanksgiving message, but let me just make that statement. We're all lepers here. And we're all under the same command. Go to the priest. You hear that? Every Sunday, nearly every Sunday, I think I preach that to you. Go to Jesus. The priest, the high priest. Like this? With my leprosy? With all my sin?
Yeah, just like that. That's the very reason for you to go. Not because you're better. Not because you're not guilty. Not because you're not sick. No. We need this almighty high priest, Jesus Christ, to cleanse and wash us. And we may go to him even when we feel like a leper. Or after Jesus has given these people their command, he went on undoubtedly with the disciples and he entered to the new villages and he's preaching somewhere, kids, and all of a sudden there is a man coming with a loud voice. He is just running down the street and he is loudly crying and glorifying God. And he is running and running and he comes closer and closer and all of a sudden he falls down before Jesus' feet. His clothes no doubt look dirty and ragged, but his face shone and his voice sang. And his words were just glorifying and praising. And he couldn't find the words, no doubt. I thank thee, Jesus. I praise thee, Jesus. I cannot believe thou did this for me, Lord Jesus. I love thee, Lord Jesus, for thou heard the voice of my supplications. I cry unto thee in my deep need, and thou heard me. I cannot believe it that thou did this for me. And loud. And loud. Such a little loud praise and thanksgiving might do us some good today. Might wake us up a little. Would not hurt us to have a little bit more loudness when we praise him, and a little less loudness when we complain. That would do us no harm, my dear congregation. It might do a little better and good to the world around us to have more of us follow the man, this tenth leper, and praise God. Now, what's even more convicting this morning is not this leper. It's Jesus. And what peculiarly pained my heart is when I read this question, where are the nine? Where are the nine? The other nine I cleansed. The other nine I helped. The other nine I healed. Why is there only this one stranger? Why is this unchurched Jew? Now, Jew, heathen. Why only him here? Where are the other nine? The church members. Because that's what they were, right? The Jews. That was God's people. But only Jesus says, why they have found that return to give glory, save this stranger. Why are those not here? Why did I hear out of 10 mouths, Master Jesus, have mercy? And why who I have only one soloist coming back? Where's the rest of the Lamentation choir that could call and call loud enough to ask me for help, but are dead silent when it comes to thanking me for the help I gave? Where are the nine? Jesus missed the nine who did not return to give thanks. And don't you forget, he takes notice, the great accountant in heaven takes notice in his divine ledger book of every act of thanksgiving that we show upon every mercy we receive. Where are the other nine? Makes me think that. The closing scene is sweet. As the man is laying there on his feet, Jesus says to him, "Arise, go thy way. You may go home now. You can have a feast with your family. You go enjoy again for the first time. Who knows how long he's been out? Your own wife and your own kids and your own brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and parents. Go thy way. Your faith in me has made you better." Not his faith has made him better. His faith he lodged in Jesus. And you know that truth is still true today also. Now we may have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ with all our leprosy and lean and look to him alone to be cured from our sin and guilt. And listen to this word this morning. Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Have a Thanksgiving feast. And I agree with the commentator who says that this made whole in his case was far more than his body. As his soul was united to Jesus as the deliverer and the savior, that was the beginning of a healing far greater than his physical leprosy. It was spiritual. Let's sing together. And I chose purposely a song of confession in the middle of this sermon. For that, I think, also fitting. It's a prayer and a confession. Let's do 141, 123. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. And then what follows in verses 1, 2, and 3 of 141.
Thank you.
his eyes. Look at this brief story or history of these nine and these one tent leper. It's a convicting example. The events of this moment in Jesus' life and Jesus' question convicts me. And I hope it will continue to convict me. I hope this may be one of those defining moments in our spiritual journey of life that we will not forget this morning. That one question, where are the other nine? That's not factual. That's an emotional statement. There is feeling in that question of someone who feels like he's slapped in his face. That's what Jesus felt. Where are the other nine? I'm good enough to help, but I'm not worthy enough to be acknowledged. I'm good enough to be used, but I'm not worthy enough to be thanked. I'm worthy enough to rush to help. I'm good enough for us to help and to give blessings and then to be forgotten by the vast majority, 9 out of 10. We're not going to make a formula of this, but I don't think it's very far off from the mathematical exactness of the problem that Jesus felt acutely. 9 didn't come back. Oh, they're dancing out along the roads, no doubt. They're dancing with their family. They're dancing and glorying and feasting with their, because the benefit is majestic. But they totally forget the benefactor. And that's where this stark contrast of the tenth one is, isn't it? Whether that tent one first went to the priest and then came back, let's not even think about it for a minute. But we know what? Before he went home, he went back to Jesus. Before he enjoyed any benefit of his healing, he went back to his benefactor and praised him and thanked him loudly, glorifying God. Come, congregation, let's do a little wrestling today. With what? With yourself. About this Thanksgiving spirit. It's so easy for us to take the cliche, we don't have a thankful heart by ourselves. I get a little sick and tired of hearing that. To be totally honest with you. And I'm sure God gets tired of it too. Go do a little wrestling with yourself today. And wrestle out against the spirit of ingratitude and grabbing and covetous. And let us think together about what John Calvin remarked. He says the chiefest part of worship is thanksgiving. And the chiefest part of thanksgiving is adoration. Park your mind before God for a moment. And park your mind before all what comes out of God in your life this moment. And see if that will make your heart humbler and humbler as you begin to unpack what goes on in our daily life all day long. We have it so good. You and I, we live in cotton balls from the cradle to the grave in this country. If I would take you for a moment If we take the entire mankind with all the billions of people that live on the earth and reduce the whole lot to 100 people, quite about what we have here, not even. Let's imagine that the whole world population is 100 people. What does it look like? Okay, you may write it down and take it along if you want to, if you forget. 80 of the 100 live in the homes like I just showed you. 80 do not have a good home with warm, with heat, with fresh water, with warm water. 80 out of the 100. You and I are already in the 20. That should be enough to starve the spirit of complaint this morning. 50 out of the 100 do not have a meal today that's satisfying, nutritious, or healthy. 50 out of 100 suffer hunger. We are in the 50. 30 out of these 100 cannot read. Can't read the Bible. Can't read a letter. These are illiterate. 30 of these 100 have heard about Jesus. Only 30. One third of the world population is Christian today. 6 out of these 100 possess 60% of all the world's wealth and resources. Okay, we're on a 6 now. One of them has a post-high school education assuring him a good-paying job. One of them has a computer. You and I are in number one. Shame on us. That means not even 10%. 1%. Where are the 9? Now I know you didn't know these facts. I know that. I didn't know these numbers either. Yeah, it took a little research to dig it out. But this is fact. And I put it right in our face today. And therefore you notice why I felt this meek. Where are the 9? I felt, Lord, you're talking to me, right? This is about me, the 9. This is where I fit in so often. Come, congregation, that's why I say let's do a little work today. Let's get a little wrestling with ourselves. This leper, this 10th one, glorified God with a loud voice. He had thought and he extolled God. He adored Jesus. He loved him. He thanked him. He magnified him in his own poor words. Go do that too. Don't mumble. Just think about it. If you can, write it out for yourself. But write God a psalm of thanksgiving today in your life circumstances. And you'll notice when you do that exercise, the spirit often comes along. And it goes from words to adoration. It goes from form to substance. It becomes real. It is often so missing in our private and our public services, isn't it? God does not need our burnt offerings. Remember that first altar that was burning day and night? Always was there something burning on that first altar. Congregation, that's no more necessary. Jesus came. He burned, and he's still burning in heaven. He's still presenting the merits of his sacrifice and his intercession before God the Father, and therefore it's called a living way. It's a life way. It's a living way. Now, Jesus is still doing that, but he doesn't need our burnt offerings. But he does require our thanks offerings. Where are the 9? Where is our thanksgiving? Where are the 9? May I first direct it to you, children of God. Those of you here who share in the grace of the spiritual healing. Yeah, you who are to whom Jesus came. Jesus sought you. Jesus took you. Jesus drew you. Jesus opened your eyes. Jesus showed you the glory that there is in him while there is nothing in you. Jesus gave you a new heart and a new spirit. And he's asking us this morning, where are the nine? How often do we thank and praise him for that? Let's do that today again. He called us out of the bondage of sin. He delivered us out of the hold of Satan. He took us away from the road that leads to hell and placed us on the road that leads to heaven. Where are the nine, Jesus asked? Where is this return to me of the thanksgiving? He says, I pray for you daily. He says it in his word. I cover your sins daily. I make intercession for you all day. At the right hand of my Father, I am pleading, Father, keep my people. He's there all day for you, praying as the burnt offering. And now he's asking us, where are the nine? Where is your constant thanksgiving for that? I pour out my spiritual blessings upon you all, he says in the word. I lead you by my spirit. I keep you by faith I gave you and maintain you. I'm the one who holds you. No one plucks you out of my hand. I hold you tight. No matter what there is in the world and no matter what you go through, you go to the waters, I'll be with you. You go to the fires, I'll be with you. You don't have to worry about food and drink and clothing and housing. I take care of you. I am your Father. And then comes that question, and where are the nine? Where are the nine now? As I traveled here today, I was reminded again because you forget sometimes. I don't travel alone. I never travel alone. No, I don't take my wife along, but I got angels with me. The Bible tells me, Jesus says, I sent my spirit out as ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. If I'm one of those, I'm constantly surrounded by angels. I don't see any of them. The Bible tells me. Where are the nine? When do I acknowledge God for these unseen blessings? I'm at work in you to finish what I began. And yes, that sometimes means that you get some hardship from me. Painful. Some of us know that. I was reading Matthew Henry. One day, kids, he got robbed. The robbers beat him up, took his wallet out of his pocket, and took off. That night, Matthew Henry writes in his diary all the things that day he was thankful for, as he did every night. All the things he was thankful for. Well, he was robbed that day. How is he going to thank for that? Listen to what he wrote in his diary. He thanked God. This was the first time in his life he was robbed, even though he traveled a lot. He says, thank thee, Lord, first time. Second, I thank the Lord they took my wallet and not my life. What's a wallet? Made a little money. Thirdly, he thanked the Lord that he wasn't a robber, but that he was the one robbed. And he prayed for the robbers. You see, do we cultivate that? Do we sit at the end of the day when we have a little mishap or a little loss? And are we going to sit at that and thank the Lord and see now, Lord, what am I to thank thee for this? So even in that circumstance, Matthew Henry gave us an example. Where are the nine? And so, congregation, where are the nine? The number of those who pray and who beg is still far greater than the number of those who thank and praise. And let me remind you that prayer not quite as heavenly and not quite as spiritual as thanksgiving is. The sum, as Calvin says, of all worship, is thankfulness and adoration. Yeah, our church coming and our offerings and our Bible reading and our prayer is not quite as spiritual as kissing Jesus' feet as this leper symbolically did when he lay down at Christ's feet and worshipped him. What a beautiful picture of Thanksgiving Day. At Jesus' feet in adoration. God overloads us daily with his food. And boys and girls, I was in India once. That's a pretty, pretty bad place to live. And I was in Chennai, and I walked there in streets where the open gutter is still there, and it's about 95 degrees Celsius, Fahrenheit. Yeah, super hot, stinky. That whole sewer, about this deep, is filled with poop and pee and garbage and rotten food and everything. 95 degrees. Okay? That's where kids live. That's where they play on the streets. That's where families try to raise their families. This is India. Inside that house where I walked in, and I have a little three-story house where they were doing school and trying to help these children to learn a little bit more. In the kitchen, above the sink, thank God for dirty dishes. I never will forget. We complain about doing the dishes. There are so many people who'd love to lick your dirty dishes. And you complain about doing dishes? Where are the nine? I can feel that hurt and pain in Jesus. Let's not do that anymore. Let's indeed pray God today to do a little violence on ourselves and to see indeed that we may have some time of thanksgiving. Where are the nine? Oh, let us conclude with prayer our message this morning. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, God and Father, Holy Spirit, we thank thee for thy patience, for thy unbelievable generosity, for thy ability to suffer long from all our unthankfulness and grumbliness. And so, O Lord, we worship thee today. Thou who comes to steep our lives with bounties upon bounties freely given. I've been reminded of it today in some new perspective. When we think about this world, only 100 people, how blessed we are outwardly as well as spiritually. So we thank thee, Lord Jesus, that thou asked this question this morning. Where are the nine? We all need this. And we pray that thou would use it to make us join the 10th one in this day and henceforth forever. Allow us not, Lord, to leave this question. And allow this question not to leave us, but nail it in our heart. And help us to experience today that when we have such an humble sense, as well as a joyful sense of thy gifts to us, that our food will taste better. And that our fellowship with friends and family is far more enjoyable. Our joy will be much deeper when we enjoy it in the spirit of the 10th leper. And gracious God, bring us there. That's why we are here also briefly preaching the word under this ministry of thy word and thy power. And we beg thee, O God, we beg thee to let this question change us. It makes us feel ashamed. We must feel it. But may it be more than that. May it also take our hearts and lay it down and help us to join today this tenth leper in his thanksgiving spirit. And teach us, Lord, daily to have a mouth and a heart that is full of thy praises. Especially for the most blessed truth that thou brings us the message of the gospel. And Lord, we pray that thou would so shake our hearts awake, often so spoiled and so used to the blessings we have, to awaken in us a true spirit of gratitude and devotion and adoration. So, Lord, enable us today to give ourselves a talk like David gave himself. And he had to exhort himself, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Enable us today, Lord, to do wrestling with ourselves and to list the blessings in our life. As Master Henry did, even in the day that he was robbed from his money. And yet thanksgiving. Even as Daniel, the day that he knew he's ending up in a lion's den, still thank thee, we read. As the Apostle Paul, laying in the prison with his back sore, and he still thanked thee and praised thy name. Lord, this is so far removed from our life and from our spirituality. And we pray that thou graciously would fill us with that spirit today. Teach us daily to give thee thoughtful praise. Daily help us to pause and to ponder. Not that what we don't have, but what we still have, despite. And so, gracious God, we pray once more. Also for the needs of those who today cannot share their time with family. Our president reminded us of that, and the servicemen, those who take care of law and order and safety in our communities. Also nurses and doctors on duty, and so many others, Lord, that perhaps cannot in this day refrain from having to be away from their loved ones. And Lord, we pray also for those especially who we were reminded of, those who are lonely, those who are hungry, those who are cold, those who don't have good health care, those who languish in prison for loving thee more than father, mother, brother, sister, those who are fleeing the unbelievable circumstances of drug culture and violence and oppression and abuse, and who look at us and long to have even a quarter of what we have. O Almighty, help us to be thankful. Help us to praise thee humbly, genuinely and spiritually and continually. Thou art so worthy to be praised. So worthy. And may we learn to know thee, Lord Jesus, as the tenth leper also learned to know. He believed this man was a saved man, not only from his body, but also in his soul. And then we pray, we also may share in the faith thou gave him and in the healing that he experienced in the body and that thy church will experience in body and soul. To be delivered from sin. What will that be? An everlasting thanksgiving. Go with us now in the remainder of this day and keep us, Lord, also. Bless our times with our families and those that travel, graciously be with them all. And those that are lonely, help them to feel thy presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing Psalter 313. What shall I render to the Lord? What shall my offering be for all the gracious benefits He has bestowed upon me? You know, even all the benefits we take so for granted is our medicine. And I was reminded of that just myself about 3 weeks ago on Sunday night. I was preaching to you and I had a leg this thick. And I was in the hospital at 11 o'clock that night. I had cellulitis. I had a bee sting on Saturday that caused a skin under my knee, skin infection underneath. The redness was just crawling up to my hips. And the nurse said to me, he said, "Wow, if you wouldn't been in here, I don't know if you would be there tomorrow." So IV right away, antibiotics, and cooled down that infection and went down really quick. One bee sting can kill you if you don't have medicine. We don't take it. We don't really realize how blessed we are. So even think of that as you sing this song. What shall I render to thee, Lord? What shall my offerings be for all the gracious benefits? And of course it goes far beyond the benefits of providence or outward things in this psalm, and certainly also spiritually. So all verses of 313. receive the blessing of God and let us go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Sing.